Okay, you, Bev, yay or nay, would you buy it?
I don't think I'd take a stance against the media to not buy it, because that is what the media animal is. But I do think that I would look at what else is the content of the magazine and decide if I want that magazine as a whole and not look at those pictures in that article. I'm not interested in those kind of pictures. So for me, it would really be about what else is in it for me, and do I want to not buy it this week? Do I buy this magazine every week, or do I never buy it and I'd have to go make a decision about buying it or not because of those pictures? For me, there's always so much more than just the yes or no. But I wouldn't be interested in the pictures, so I would not buy it for the pictures, and I might buy it if there was content I had value that I could get out of it.
But do you feel strongly? Do you have an opinion about whether private pictures, topless pictures, should be taken of a royal person, of any person, any person? How would you feel if topless pictures were taken of you and put into a magazine?
I'd really love to know how anyone got into my bathroom with a camera.
But how would you feel if topless pictures were taken of you and people could buy pictures
exposed,
of you?
I would feel exposed. I would feel vulnerable. Yeah. I would feel that people had trespassed on my private space. And if I were important enough for somebody to make that much effort to take photographs of me the way I was born, I would be fascinated that they thought that that was important, because at the end of the day, I'd be more interested in what the pictures of that person looks like in a beautiful suit than I would in their birthday suit. It's so disinteresting for me,
but
because
for you, but it's such
it's
an
all
invasion.
The same.
It's such an invasion
at the end of the day.
Yeah, but it's an invasion of your privacy.
It could
and
be
it's
pictures
absolutely
of her.
Humiliating.
It could be pictures of her, and it could be pictures of her head on some other body. It's fairly irrelevant at that level, I think. And I'll tell you why I think that. And my son and I were chatting about this on the way to school this morning, and he wasn't sure if he was supposed to be in civvies or not, because it's nearing the end of the term and they had something on today. I don't know. Anyway, I noticed he wasn't wearing a tie. So I said to him, do you need to go back to get a tie? And he said, I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I'll survive it. I said, okay, I'm sure you will survive it. He said, but I'm hoping we have to.
His self-esteem is truly intact.
In many areas. And I said to him, he said, but I'm hoping that we have to wear civvies, because then I'll just look like I decided to dress down my school uniform. So I said to him, okay, well, you'll know soon enough. And either way, you're right. You will survive it. Perhaps try and remember the time next time. And that was it. I said, but, you know, at the end of the day, my boy, we shouldn't be too worried about having to dress like everybody else or look like everybody else, because 98% of the world will never attain immense success. 98%, that's a massive percentage. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, it's probably more like 3% will. So maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe it's 97% of the world will never attain immense, huge success. And if we look at the people achieving success, you can see they're very, very close to in the 1, 2 or 3% of the population of the planet. Now, those people have to be willing to be significant, to be different, to be exposed, to be out there, because you cannot have immense success without being exposed. It's not possible. And most times, immense success comes with being the leader of the team, the front runner for a team. Oprah Winfrey didn't fall to the top of the huge success poll by accident, and she didn't do it all by herself either. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to being like everybody else and everyone wants to blend in and be the same and not be noticed, then they're also saying, I don't want to reach my highest potential. I don't want to reach out and be different. The boy who gets the award at school for being the best this or that, he's being different. He's standing out. There will be a photograph of him in the community newspaper. The people, and so the celebrity status, as I heard you chatting about on my way here, grows and augments as we develop ourselves in life. If I'm going to have the most successful, let's say, optometry practice in the country, I'm going to be doing something that's different to others. I'm not going to be blending. I'm not going to be ordinary. I'm going to be standing up to be different, to take responsibility for myself and to be willing to be out there. Already then, I'm in a vulnerable position. Already then, the people who stand at the top of the hill can be seen from anywhere. You have to be willing to hold that stature. You have to be willing to do it, hopefully, with grace and maturity and responsibility. But when you are willing to put yourself forward with your strengths and your skills, your passions and your heart, you are ready in the 3%, let's say, of the world who are willing to make that move.
Now, I hear what you're saying. And when Catherine made the decision to marry William, I'm sure she took all of it into consideration. And I'm sure even today she's thinking that I have to take it on the chin. This is what happened. I'm not talking about Catherine. I'm talking about us as people taking a moral stance that every single day we have a choice to do something right or to do something wrong. Every moment we have the choice. So either we're going to always go with the flow because everyone else is doing it, or we're going to stand up and say, I say no, I'm going to take a moral stance, or I don't care. Yes, I do care. So it's not about Catherine. This isn't actually about Catherine. It's about our response. It's about how are we when something like this happens? Are we happy to be a part of it? Are we enjoying it? Are we supporting it? Or are we taking a moral stance? Not to, that's just my point. But let us move on because we've got lots of
people. No, you can't make comments like that and then move on. I have to say something in return.
Okay.
It's only reasonable.
Okay.
It's only reasonable. There are other stances we can take with that. We can say, hold on a second, perhaps I will buy that magazine to burn it or to shred it. Perhaps that will be one more magazine not bought by somebody who will.
Point is, whether you do or don't, my point is that every day we have a choice and we can do something good, whatever it is.
And my point is, along with yours, not in contradiction to it, along with yours, I'm saying that's exactly it. When you choose to be different, you choose to put yourself out there as the celebrity, you're already taking off all your clothes. You're already taking off everything. And it's just a question of time before they scrutinize every bit of what your wardrobe is, what your wardrobe isn't, whether you are caught taking out the trash or in it, or dressed like it or dressed without it. And as the people watching that, we have a choice what we expose ourselves to. I agree with you 100%. Choosing to buy it is a stance. Choosing not to buy it is a stance. Choosing to buy it and burn it is a stance. Choosing to do nothing is a stance. And
absolutely.
I want
all
you
stances.
To note that there were 13 no's and how many? 5 yeses. Mm-hmm. But there were thousands of other people listening who chose to do nothing. And whether you like it or not, people, that was a choice too. Mm. There is choice in everything. Do not
that's
be
the
thinking
point. Yeah, that's
that
the
I abstained. I didn't get involved. Yes, you got involved by not getting involved. Mm. There is no way
but
to get away with it.
It's a wonderful metaphor for life, Bev, this little example in just how we live our lives. Every day we are making choices, whether we're conscious of it or whether we're not.
Correct.
So I think we both agree on the same point. Shall we move on?
We mostly agree to agree.
Edna.
In debate.
Because we've got so many to go through. Okay.
Okay.
So we have Edna, female.
Hello, Edna.
7th of August, 1962. You can continue to send through your birth dates to 34519, or you can call. And if you call, we will take your call as we finish the next birth date. So the number to dial, 0861 24 24 36. So Edna sent this through bright and early, Bev, 7th of August 1962.
All right. So Edna is a young woman of what? She's about 48 now? No, she's 50. Pass my math. Okay, so Edna's 50 now, I think. So she's reached.
She's still a young, vibrant woman.
Yes, she is. She's right up due for a midlife crisis. She is. She's halfway to 100. So Edna at 50, what would you be looking at? What would you be looking at in the energy of the year where you've probably started something new and looked in the last 12 months at how to begin again and how to take new direction and etc.? This year, that's starting now on Monday night, actually. Sunday night. When's Rosh Hashanah? Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Absolutely. Sunday night is the beginning of the new energy. It's the beginning of this fire six number, this strong, inflexible, determined, passionate, impassioned, ambitious, generous spirit. Oh, there's so much we can do with the next year if you've kept your head together. If you haven't, you've got a weekend left. Get your head straight, because the last year has been all about, and if you think about it, the last year has challenged you on how you live your life, on what choices you make. It hasn't been a complacent year where you got away with it. Look around at the people in your life. They've been challenged on the choices they make, the people they hang out with, the places they go, the things they do, the way they eat, the things they don't do. It has been an unbelievably intellectually challenging year for people, because that was the energy of the year, and you can not outrun unresolved emotion, and you cannot outrun energy that is. It's like trying to stand in the way of an avalanche and going, because I don't believe in the avalanche, I will be unaffected by it running over me. Okay, well, good luck when you're 20 feet under snow, you know. Let's hear your opinion now, whether we believe in it or not, whether we agree with it or not. Energy moves through this planet, and we can either ride on it, with it, or try to fight against it, and it will go straight over you like a steamroller. So for Edna in the last year, she has without question used her intellect, her incredible intellect, to set up structures, to set up new ways, to do things differently. She's deeply sensitive, but she doesn't want anyone to know that. She has high expectations. Edna, how's that working for you? Constantly holding people up to a banner that they're supposed to live with and live by, and disappointing you perpetually. I mean, how does that work for you, my dear? That's really my question. I mean, if it's working for you and you're happy and your relationships thrive and you're thriving and you're happy, that's fantastic. But if it's not quite as fulfilling as that, well, then you may want to look at the banners you hold up over your head, live by this or die trying. That's kind of banner that I get coming out of Edna's inflexibility because of insecurity and need. And that's what I want to hear, hope you hear, Edna, is that what I'm seeing happening here is that there's this huge desire for structure and for systems and for things to be in a certain way and to reach out and to help and to change. Not everyone's going to want your help, which is a bit of a challenge. And she's got an affectionate, generous spirit, and she wants to help and she wants to be there, but she's very directive. And so therefore there'll be a lot of, but this is how it must be. What are you doing? This is how I want it to be. Don't tell me how to do it on your terms. I have terms. I was born with terms. So I'm saying that's fantastic. And use Edna in a law firm and she'd be a superpower. Use her in any kind of human rights activism. She'd be unbelievable. But in a family, in a relationship, we need gentle. We need encouragement. We need non-judgment. We need non-specifics. We need to be able to say, this is how we are in this family. But, oh, wow, I've had a child that's completely different to that. Okay, how can we work with that? Not how can we crush it, right? So that's what I'd encourage. You've got 2 days left before the your energy is changing into whatever you've created to either flow or really be difficult to flow. And a lot of it has to do with keeping our minds clear and keeping our minds flowing. So on one foot, that's what I'd say, Edna. Speak more of your heart than your mind and try and give people the opportunity to live up to their potential, not your expectation. It's a big thing. Your potential and my expectation of you could be the very reason you never reach your potential if I voice it.
There we have it, Edna. I hope that had great meaning for you. Let's take a break. After the break, we'll look at Phyllis Bev, who was born on the 3rd of November, also in the 60s, 1966.
Radio finally worth listening to.
FM. Welcome back. Fabulous Friday. Nikki Seburini in your element. And we have the wonderful self-esteem engineer Bev Mulun in the studio looking at your numbers. So we had Phyllis, Bev. Let me just get back to Phyllis. The 3rd of November, 1966.
It's a good thing this is radio, not TV, right?
Okay.
Cut to commercial. Now for a message from our sponsors.
That's how Toby has fun. You know that's how he gets his kicks during the day. Just 3 seconds before he'll go, 3 seconds to go. Hey, Tobs.
Well, it could be worse. He could be lying like they've done to so many news anchor people. And they lie and they say 5 seconds and it's already on. Just to get
and you
them,
just see
just
the
to
real,
expose them.
You see the real side come out.
Yeah, it's a, don't do that.
Don't you
don't
be doing
do that,
that,
Mr. T.
Please, Mr. T.
So let's look at Phyllis. Phyllis, the perfectionist. Okay, so here's our theme. We have it. All right, so Phyllis is so generous spirited and nurturing and caring and affectionate and loving and wanting things to look beautiful and wanting things to be in a certain way. And that's just so wonderful, except for all the direction that comes with that. So
what do you mean? Her direction?
Yeah, no. I mean the way she directs others.
Okay.
And the way she is absolutely certain that her way is the right and the only way. And so that, as I always say, is such a hard way to be, because then you come if you live in a vacuum. So that's wonderful. So let's put that person onto an island. Well, set up the island any way you like. What are you going to do with the first tidal wave? So there's things that happen in life that we cannot control, and there's things that happen in life that we can have a little effect on, and that's about the only thing, I think, that separates the two, because people would love to believe they can control and affect everything and everyone around them, and, well, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. This is the way to do it. Okay, if you own the business and it's your system you want to set up, do it, because then you're right. You pay the bills, you pay the salaries, you pay everything. You think that system will work, then yes, there you can have control, you can exert control, and you can certainly hope that people will follow it.
Okay.
In life and relationships, it is not the same. And so Phyllis in business, oh, fantastic, systemized, very directive, very clever, nurturing, caring, loving things to flow, wanting things to be in order, can command a following, and etc. So that we have all this power. She definitely has a different way she wants to be in the world, and she has she's not one of those I just want to blend type people. And she, in fact, she wouldn't know how to blend if she tried. Mm. She's just too different. Mm. And that's fantastic. Mm. That's fantastic. That's what I was trying to encourage my son with this morning. You know, the more we want to be like everybody else, the less opportunity we have for greatness.
Mm.
Even in Happy Feet, you know, the little penguin show, if he was like every other penguin, if he could sing, like, would we ever have the movie Happy Feet?
Never.
We wouldn't even have the movie. So it's so important for me that people understand and embrace that their capacity and courage to dress the way their heart feels, because, and it's different and it's not societal, but they don't want to wear the same as everyone else, gives them the capacity to access more of the potential that they have inside. Because the more we release our inner spirit, the more we can unify that with our potential and raise it up. You cannot do it otherwise. I see you raising both eyebrows. You want to hear that again?
Hey, you know me.
I know you. That was one of those, oh, that made sense. I like that. I think I'll
and
tweet
then I
it.
Quickly tweet right. it. And I try to tweet the best I can.
And you know me, it's gone. I don't even know what I said. All right, so Phyllis, it wants to be different. And Phyllis, here's what I'm going to do. On one foot, I'm telling you this. I hope it has value. And I hope it has value for everyone, because this is always applicable in some way or another, you know, to everyone. I've heard from people, oh, I love what you tell people. I really hope they grow. Yeah. Okay. And for you, what was that? Mm. Something in between the Dis-Chem adverts. Mm. Like, what's the point? Mm. And I've had other people bump me and say to me, I listen to you every week and you've changed my life. Like, please hear this from me. I have not changed anyone's life, not ever, not one time. Sometimes I'll have an effect where I can give something that they couldn't get elsewhere. And then, yes, I do think that that contribution changes their life in some way. But if you do internal work because of something you've heard someone say, and that happens to be me, you have to know I'm passing on a message that you're willing to integrate that, that it resonates for you, and you're willing to take that and do work with it and improve yourself by 1%. That's you. You own that. That's not me. That I'm just carrying a message. I'm just a neon sign. If you look at the neon sign and look away and the bleach on your retina fades away and you don't see it anymore, so be it. But if that hits a chord and you go, oh my goodness, I need to look at that in me, and you do anything, that's your kudos. That is your reward. That is your strength of character. That is not me. I can't own any of that.
Hmm.
So, Phyllis, what I'm hoping here is that there's two things you'll look at in the next short while. One is your level of flexibility. And I'm not talking about self-compromise. I'm saying that there are certain ways you want the world to be, people to be, things to be, anything to be, angles you want the TV remote to be at, whatever it is. There are certain things that you are so specific about. The energy you're pouring into trying to keep them that way, is it serving you? That's the question. Is it serving you? If it's serving you, fantastic. If it's not serving you, you may want to look at that.
Hmm.
That's the one thing. And the other thing I'd say is, with your beautiful, nurturing, affectionate, generous, caring spirit, careful not to decide for others how their caring needs to be, how their self-nurturing needs to be, how their direction needs to be, their choices, their life. Just careful. Because a lot of Phyllis's work is in self-management, health issues potentially, because of mismanagement. So a lot of that nurturing and caring and generosity of spirit needs to go to her first. there will be issues she's had that she's had to deal with from a health point of view and et cetera, and she may still have them. And if you wonder why this thing niggles or that thing doesn't go away, it's self-management. You look through it, you'll find, oh man, I have to do this every day. Oh, seriously. And then it will go away.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many people that say, you know, I just hated the idea of not eating gluten because I'm gluten intolerant. I just hated it. And then I stopped eating it and embraced it, and I'm better now.
Mm.
Okay, well, there we go. That's my question always. Make any choice you want. I don't care. Choose to get involved, choose to not get involved, choose to abstain. It's all choice. Check out how it's working
for you.
Yeah. There you
got
go.
It. Now, listen, this next one, Yechiel, has sent through the SMS 15 times, Bev.
Really?
Yes. So Yechiel wants you, definitely wants your attention. Yechiel was born on the 2nd of the 6th, 1978. And the SMS goes 1978. So the 2nd of the 6th, 1978. I was just let off my job. What do you see for my finance future? Please answer me.
Me, the non-oracle. That's a question for you.
Mm. I'm trying, but this glass ball of mine is, it's misted it up.
There. Did it? Mine shattered. Mine shattered. Mine's not shattered. There's no crystal ball glue. I've tried. I look in every flea market. All right. So here we go. Yechiel, number one, write this down. I am not an oracle. I have no idea what's in it for you. The only thing I can say is if you were let off your work because of your behavior, because you've clashed with bosses, because you have challenged the system, you may want to look at that. If you were let off your work because the business is downsizing, then that is an economic global crisis that we are trying to survive, and businesses are trying to survive that. And so people who ordinarily would want to be in a hiring growth phase are having to cut some of the purse strings that are attached so that they can keep everybody else on the ship and floating so that one day again they may be able to hire again. So it's not personal. A lot of the time this is just so not personal, and I see this all the time with people. I can't believe this happened, but it's not personal. It's terrible. It's heartbreaking. It's cold comfort. It's happening to so many, and that the world's in an economic downturn. But we are, the ship's starting to turn. We're moving into a time where the ship will start to turn. Watch it. Watch it in the next year. This is the turning time.
Mm.
And it's heading into an even more interesting year afterwards. But energetically, this is not oracleizing. I'm not telling you what's going to happen. I'm just telling you that this is the energy of time right now. So for you, Yechiel, you're moving into a year where you are going to close up a big period of your life. That's what you're going to do. So you are going to find a way in which you can wrap up things you have been doing, choices you have been making, and set a target to begin something new. In the interim, you need to work, do everything it takes to find a job. Put yourself out there. Get involved in volunteer programs while you're looking. Do not waste human energy by sitting and worrying and wishing. Do your prayer. Do your affirmations. Get on with it. Mm. Apply everywhere. And get involved in volunteer programs, because there's nothing more wasteful than human energy going nowhere. What a tragedy that there's so many people who don't have anything specific to do, but they're not getting up to go do something.
Mm.
Do you know how many volunteer programs there are out there you can go help with, you can go be a part of? You can phone and say, I want to volunteer. Do you have anything? No. Do you know any programs that do? Yes, there is this, there is that. No, I don't. Keep going. Go Google volunteer programs. You'll find things. Make sure they're safe. Make sure that it's not going to compromise you, and go be a part of something, because using your energy keeps you productive. It keeps you feeling full as a human being. And it keeps your esteem of yourself up, and thereby you can find new opportunities. And when you go for the job interview, you're not the one sitting there wishing, broken, compared to the guy who's had no job for 3 months, who's been involved in two different charity programs, volunteer programs, etc.
So still has a purpose, still
has purpose,
has flows, it's still not the, doing
exactly,
things.
Exactly, he's not the one sitting there going, woe is me, I'm terrible. Do you know what's going to happen then if you hire that person? Think about what you're offering someone to hire.
Mm.
What are you offering? A person who gets thrown a challenge and sits down and breaks in half? No, there'll be challenges in business. If I'm going to hire someone, I'd rather hire the guy who hasn't worked for 2 years but is involved in two different projects, has redone his house himself, has traded a bit of time for money here and there, done anything it takes to make a bit of money to contribute to his family, then the guy who's been laid off, who's top of his game where he was, but had some challenges there, and who's been laid off with a business downsize and has been sitting for only 3 months, stewing, freaking, just only focused on going for job interviews. I'll take the unemployed guy who has employed himself to be a superstar.
Okay.
Just think about that. So I don't know what your future holds, Akhil, but I know that you have to do something about your future. And you have a tendency to the woe is me thing. That's the one thing I want to point out for him before we go to the call. We have a tendency to a woe is me. I can't believe this happened. I'm a victim. No, no, no. Scrap that theology and choose a new one. Choose a, I'm a different person. I have different abilities. I have a passion for structure. I have a passion for direction. I have a passion to move forward. I have deep sensitivities and philosophies about the world. I tend to be inflexible and rigid when I'm challenged. You may want to look at that. Rather take this time. Don't break apart. Build on you. Do something. You will find something. You will, if you have that energy. But remember, there are millions of unemployed people in this country, and every job that gets posted gets thousands of people posting for it. If you want to be the one who rises up onto the top of the hill so you can be seen from anywhere, you have to be willing to be different. You have to be willing to be the one who goes to get involved in volunteer programs and does stuff and is moving forward and energizing himself and working himself. You have to be the one who floats up to the top and gets above the meniscus and stands on that and can actually say, here, look, here's me. See me amongst the other 3,000 people who also want a job but aren't doing anything with their time now. Be willing to be different.
There we go, Yechiel.
Be willing to be the one who the paparazzi wants to chase.
Take the picture of.
Do it.
Yechiel, all the very best to you. We do have a caller. Thank you, Bev, and we have a call on the line. Hi, good morning.
Hi, my name is Shelley.
Hello, Shelley.
Hi. I'm loving the show.
Fantastic,
Shelley. Quickly before my appointment, I'll try to get Bev to give me a few words.
Okay.
Hi, Bev.
Hey, Shelley.
Hi. It's 27-10-1965.
This is you.
Sorry?
This is you.
That's me.
And what do you want to know? Ooh, I know lots already. Can I tell?
All right. Well, you can talk quickly.
She'll tell you first.
All right. You'll listen on the radio, Shelley.
No, I have to listen on my phone because I'm at an appointment.
Oh, okay,
no,
stay where you are.
We stream live everywhere, so that's great. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
So for Shelley, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at someone who has a very different spin on herself compared to everyone else. Very countercultural. Doesn't want to be like everyone else and has probably had to do a lot of work to not need the affirmation of others or the respect of others or the kudos from others to be able to and willing to step into that courage and into that powerful space, right? So I don't know what appointment she's waiting for. I mean, that could be to do her nails or it could be for anything else, but the truth is her life is about getting into her own story and doing it and living it independent of the scrutiny of others. So there's our theme. I love it when we have a theme, right? So our theme for the day is be willing to be different. And if you're willing to be different, you better be willing to be watched, to be looked at, to be in a vulnerable space, to be the one that the paparazzi hunts one day, maybe, maybe not, to be the one that people will comment about. Because if you are going to be average, you are safe from the media, you are safe from public opinion, you are safe from scrutiny, you're also insignificant in your own world. And most people who are not willing to just do something are not feeling full. So even if you only make an effort in your own family, but you're willing to make an effort in your own family, you are being different because so many people out there won't make an effort. It's the people who just use oxygen and do nothing else but use it, who are not feeling full out there, but they're not even willing to be significant in their own day. Those are the people who feel this insignificance that if I just faded away, it would make no difference. But what are you doing to be different? I'm not telling you you have to change the world. You have to start a huge business. You have to have money. Money's the last counter of what makes people significant on this planet. Really, it is a bad chip counter where I'm standing. People think you have to have it to be significant. No, you have to have it to write checks to help people who need it. You have to have it to live in a big house. You have to have it to afford the best medical care. That's all true. But does that make you the best human being on the planet? Not by any corrective chip measure that I've ever come across. Where I'm talking about here is being willing to be. Are you willing to be? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you can do? Do you know that you have the most wonderful way of encouraging someone? That's different. Most people won't do it. I'm talking about that level of significance that fills up your bowl and fills up someone else's and makes you something special. Don't be like everyone else. Tap into what you can do. You've got a great smile. Use it. Smile at strangers. Make people feel a little bit more significant in their day, that they're not just passed by as a teller again and again and again. Do you ever buy chocolates for the tellers at stores? Do you ever do that in those pick and pay, those big warehouse shopping malls and whatever? Do you ever do that? I do that all the time. I have to admit, I try and outsource all my shopping, so I don't do it that often. But I do it all the time. I'll buy them a lunch bowl. What's the big deal? I'll buy them a crayon. What do you? And I always ask, what would you like? Because I'm not going to just dictate what they should eat. What do you like? Do you want it? And the joy in that moment, go watch it. Go be significant for that extra R7. Go do it and watch the difference. Greet them. Don't buy them anything. Smile. Say hello. How are you? How's your day going? You know why? Thousands of people pass by them every day. No one bothers to say hello. I've had chats with these tellers and I've said, how many people have said hello today? And so many of them have said to me, you are the first. And it's 5 p.m. Human beings out there, humanity, raise it up. So I'm saying to you, Shelley, if you're still listening, you're not in your appointment yet, my dear. You are about raising it up. You're about setting the bar higher. And if you still are living fearing the scrutiny of others, if you're still trying to be like everybody else, you're going to hold back that unbelievable potential. Not everyone has to stand up on the top of the hill, but you can stand on the top of your little hill in your day, in your conversations, in your world, in your relationships. You don't have to be chased by paparazzi to be significant. Don't confuse the issue. But if you want to be the celebrity, if you step up into the celebrity status where I'm sitting, you have to be willing to be photographed with or without your clothes on, with or without your makeup, with or without your scruples intact, because that's the position you're holding. The best we can hope is that we hold it with dignity and we hold it with grace, and that the world will offer us a place to still also be counted amongst the human race and not waiting for us to downfall and be caught with our top off.
Whew, thank you, Bev. Inspirational, especially with Rosh Hashanah coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Ms. Malun. And if we didn't get to your SMSs, please continue SMSing your birthdates through next Friday, same time on 101.9 High FM.